Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, what a great day. Hey, real quick, before I get started, just wanted to make a couple of just quick reminders. It is time to bring candy.
Woo!
Yeah. So it is that time of year. We've got our neighborhood Halloween party coming up on Halloween on October 31st. I think that's a Tuesday, which is awesome because that means that Officer Andy can be here dressed as Big Boy from Mark's Big Boy Restaurants. And so that would be awesome. And then, so just bring candy. Bring the best candy, okay? So, like, don't bring Tootsie Rolls. Don't bring, like, a thing of Smarties. Bring, like, the good candies, okay? And everybody in the neighborhood knows this is where to come to get the good candy on Halloween. So bring candy. Just set it up on the coffee counter, and we'll take care of it, and we will hand it out by the bucket load on Halloween. And that will be awesome. Also, Alpha starts on Wednesday, and Alpha's awesome. Yes, we love Alpha, and Alpha is about a 13-week, I don't even know what to call it, course, meet it, whatever. But we come, and we share a meal together. We get to know each other, and we get to talk about life and talk about the Bible and talk about those things. And you are free to express any opinion that you want about those things, and it's a wonderful time. And so if you are interested in Alpha, that you're not committing to it, but you're interested in it, there's a sign-up sheet on the coffee bar. And so feel free to, like, jump up at any time and sign up. So if you're like, hey, if I wait until the end of service, I might forget. I won't think you're rude if you jump up and go back to the coffee counter in the middle of the message and you sign up for Alpha, okay? And so Alpha is an awesome time. You'll make friends, and you'll have a wonderful time, and you'll be blessed, and you'll be glad that you went to Alpha. So, and that starts Wednesday, 6:30, this Wednesday. So that will be awesome. And then finally, Friday night is board game night. How many here get into, like, board games? A few people? Yeah. How many would consider themselves board game nerds? Yes. Yes. How many of you would consider yourself hardcore board game nerds? How many of you would consider yourself uber mega hardcore board game nerds? Really? You stop there. That's where you draw the line. You draw the line right there. So we're going to have a great time. Even if you're not an uber mega hardcore board game nerd, it's just going to be fun. And we'll be here at 7 o'clock on Friday over there in the East Hall. And just bring $5 to defray, because we're going to bring snacks and we'll have fun and whatever, just to defray the cost of that. Bring $5, and it'll be a lot of fun. So we'll have a great time. So again, in case you haven't met yet, I'm Lee. I'm the lead pastor here at Mercy Vineyard. And this morning, not only am I the lead pastor, I'm also, I'm the preacher. And I know that's, like, super cheesy. Literally, I was cleaning out. It was time to, like, have you ever just gone, you're like, I got to go through the closet. I got to get rid of stuff. I just have too much. I need it. And I came across this shirt, and I was like, I should wear it one more time before I get rid of it. So it's obviously too short for me, but I'm the preacher this morning. I know there's, like, a no graphic tee rule for the platform on Sunday mornings, but Dan breaks that all the time. So here I am. This morning, let's real quick, let's put up our mission statement right here. This is what we're all about. So, hey, what's this church all about? Right here, in a nutshell, this is it. Can we say it together? We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. So everything that we do because we're on a passionate mission, because we believe that Jesus didn't just save us from our sin. He didn't just save us from something. He saved us for something. And so that's why we believe we're living a passionate mission, and it's to love each other, to love Jesus, to love our community, to grow in Jesus and grow together, and to go to serve each other and serve our community for God's glory. And that's what we're all about as a church. And so this morning, what we're doing is we are continuing our 4-part series called GYST. Does anybody remember what GYST stands for? Don't say it out loud. Just say that you remember. You remember. Okay, good. It means get your stuff together, right? Get it together. Get your stuff together. And what we're doing is we're going through the book of Proverbs, which Proverbs is basically, Proverbs could be called, like, God's guide to GYST. You know, that's what Proverbs could be called. And we're looking at some of the wisest advice ever written, okay? And we know that Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, that God blessed him with supernatural wisdom, and he wrote the bulk of Proverbs. And Proverbs speaks to, like, incredibly practical, real-life issues. It talks about things like work and money and sex and temptation and drinking and laziness and did I hear a woo-woo when I said sex? I love this church. Okay. And it talks about like drinking and laziness and discipline. It talks about parenting, okay? And it really should be called God's Guide to GYST. And so this morning what we're going to do is we're going to look at one of the major themes that runs through Proverbs. And the crazy thing about Proverbs is if you read through it, it sort of like jumps themes. It goes laziness, money. It doesn't go, okay, this whole chapter is on work. You know, it's sort of, have you ever noticed that about Proverbs? It'll give like two Proverbs, two verses, and it'll basically be almost like the same lesson reworded, and then all of a sudden, two verses that are, you know, another lesson. And so it's really amazing. But there's this theme that runs through Proverbs, and it's very, very, very important. I'm going to hit it in just a second. But if you grew up in the Midwest, how many here grew up, oh, we'll just say the Midwest. You grew up in the Midwest. Okay, so most of us, there's no like California transplants here, no New York transplants here, I don't think. So, you know, most of us kind of grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in Wisconsin, but I've lived everywhere else. And if you grew up in the Midwest, you probably have at least somewhat of a like a strong work ethic, right? Isn't that sort of like a Midwestern thing? You know, we're hard workers in the Midwest. And I remember, like, when growing up, my dad, he was a journeyman pipe fitter, and he would work long hours. Sometimes he'd work 5-12-hour days, or he'd work, you know, just 10-hour days for 6 days a week. I mean, just crazy. And he would come home, and he'd be dirty and tired and exhausted. And you know what a lot of times he would do when he got home? Fix things around the house. You know, that was sort of like the environment I grew up in. And so like being called lazy in this environment was like one of the worst criticisms a person can endure. Like if somebody called you lazy, it was like, oh, that was like, that's like right to the heart, man. You just called me lazy. Oh, you know. And that was sort of like the Midwest work ethic environment that I grew up in. And laziness is one of the major themes that runs through Proverbs. In fact, Proverbs goes on, it's really strong language. It says that laziness will lead to ruin, will lead to ruin. So laziness doesn't just sort of lead to being called lazy, but it will lead to ruin. And I remember when I was a kid in the 80s, has anybody watched Stranger Things? Like, I was those kids' age at that time, you know, that the show takes place. Like, it's just craziness. But yeah, that was sort of the era that I grew up in. And back in the 80s, I remember there was no cell phones. We had rotary phones. Have you ever like dialed the wrong number on a rotary phone? Like, so you're like, and you can be like, there's seven numbers. You're like six in, and you went, oh, wrong number, dang it. It took like 20 minutes to make a phone call on those things, right? And so I had that, like, we didn't have cell phones. I remember when car phones first came out, it was only for, like, the uber rich, if somebody had a car phone, or uber in debt. And I remember, like, we didn't have those. But you know what else we didn't have? We didn't have remote controls for our television. We didn't. Yeah, like, you did? Yeah. Austin, would you go change the channel? Yeah. I got that, you know. And I remember, like, there was this huge technological advancement that went from dial to, like, this, like, touch button. Do you guys remember those? It was, like, touch 2, touch 3, touch 4, like that. And for me, like, I remember one day I had this epiphany. I could use a stick. And so I could use a stick from, like, where I was sitting. And, like, you know, that was, like, my laziness. And so we didn't have those. You know what else? We used dictionaries growing up. Y'all remember that? I remember going to my dad and going, hey, Dad, what does this mean? He'd go, get the dictionary, son. Go grab the encyclopedia. Like, we don't even do that anymore. Now we just ask Siri. Siri, what's a dictaphone? You know, like, we just ask Siri. We don't have to, like, you know. And so we're kind of a laziness society. We've kind of gotten lazy with all of our progress, all of our, you know, things. And so I wanted to show you just some pictures that I found of some really lazy people on the internet. And I wanted to see if you could point out, you know, what the laziness is of that. And have you ever done this? Have you ever laid on your side and turned your laptop on its side so that you didn't have to sit up? And has anybody ever done that? That's pretty lazy. Look at he's even got his mouse up against the wall there. So let's see the next one. That's laziness. Yeah, taking the trash out. Has anybody ever done that? Nobody? All right, let's see the next one. Too lazy to take the sticker off the apple. Has anybody ever been too lazy to take the sticker off the apple? That's pretty lazy. Nobody here's done that? I know, it's not very hard. Let's see the next one. I believe that. All right, now let's see the next one. Yeah, kids that are perfectly able to get up and walk, but they're sitting in the cart with their phones. Has anybody ever seen that one? You're like, they're huge. Why are they sitting in the cart? They can walk, right? Okay, let's see the next one. Not only is he like laying in the display recliner, he's got 5 straws connected, so he doesn't have to hold his drink. That's pretty lazy. All right, let's see the next one. He's just letting the mobility scooter drag him because he doesn't want to walk. I don't know about you guys, but like when I was a kid, there was something about being in the bank that just made me want to lay on the floor while I was in there. Any of your kids ever do that? It's like you get into a boring place and it was like, ugh, floppy. Okay, now let's see the next one. Laziness. There we go, walking the dog. Has anybody ever done that? Thank you for your honesty. All right, let's see the next one. Yeah, there we go. Kid laying in the bottom of the cart. He kind of looks like Hudson. A little bit. Where's that? All right, what is the next one? Yeah, doorstop. Too lazy to take it out of the package. That's just lazy. All right, let's see the next one. Yeah. Too lazy to hold his phone up to watch something. Forrest, don't get any ideas. All right, next one. Let's do the next one. Yeah, amount, tip, math, $25. too lazy to do the math. You've done that? Have you done that?
No.
Okay.
I will now.
Did that give you a good idea? All right, let's see the next one. Right here, yeah. Yeah. I wonder if that guy kept his job after that. Okay, let's see the next one. Just get a rider mower. Just get a rider if you're going to do that. Okay, I think what do we got? One or two more? There we go. -1 hour, the sign says, under the clock. Too lazy to take it down and actually turn the clock back. Let's see, what else? Is that it? Okay. That's pretty lazy. This is some pretty extreme examples of laziness there. It's funny, but like the reality is that we can get pretty lazy in just about any area of our lives. And we can. We can get sloppy. We can get lazy. And it can lead to some pretty horrible consequences. You know, when we think about laziness in our lives, if we get lazy on the job, what might happen? Pink slip, you go, you're out of here, you know. If we get lazy in our parenting, it could lead to spoiled kids, right? Parenting, can I just tell you, like, parenting is the hardest job I've ever had in my entire life. And it's even harder when our kids become teenagers, and then parenting gets even harder, you know. But it's like one of those jobs where, like, if you don't stay diligent as a parent, it can really cause some unwanted consequences. If we get crazy in our finances, it can lead to loads of credit card debt. It can lead to no savings, right? If we get lazy in our eating and exercise practices, it can lead to fatigue. It can lead to weight gain. It could lead to health problems. And so there's a reason that God finds it very important for us to not become lazy in our lives. And when God is saying, hey, don't be lazy, he's not just being like a killjoy. There are actual reasons, and it's because God wants us to succeed. God wants us to have health. God wants us to have financial security. God wants us to be secure in our job. God wants us to be good parents and have great kids, right? And so it's not that God says, hey, don't be lazy, because it will lead to ruin. It's not just because he doesn't want to see you laying on the couch, right? And I love to lay on the couch just like anybody else. In fact, sometimes I kick everybody off the couch so that I can lay on it. But that's another story altogether, all right? So God finds it very important. So what does Proverbs have to say about getting our stuff together in the area of laziness? And how can we move from laziness to life? Because I think all of us struggle somewhere. There's some area in our lives where we're lazy in that we need to bring more life into. And how can we go from there to where God wants us? And so we're going to talk about that. But really quickly here, let's just pray. God, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the book of Proverbs. We pray that you would just send your Holy Spirit to make your word come alive in us today. That you would send your Spirit to bring change, to bring life, and to transform us. God, to fill us with wisdom. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to start off. We're going to take a look at Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. It says this. It says, I walked by the field of a lazy person, the vineyard of one with no common sense. I just stopped there real quick, just super fast, because while I was reading through it this morning, it struck me that there is this correlation between laziness and no common sense, right? So in other words, when we get lazy in an area, we are not exercising common sense. We're not being wise by being lazy in an area. He says, I saw that it was overgrown with nettles. It was covered with weeds, and its walls were broken down. Then, as I looked and thought about it, I learned this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. I think that, like if that scripture was written today, it probably wouldn't say a little folding of the hands, a little more sleep, a little more slumber. It would probably say another quick YouTube video, right? Another scroll through my Facebook feed. I think it would say things like that, right? I think it would say something like, just another episode of this series that I'm binge watching, you know? I think it would kind of say things like that. And so he's saying a little extra slumber, a little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. It says, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. Whew. Well, those are hard words, aren't they? Is anybody bristling yet? Anybody bristling? Anybody going, don't tell me about that. You know, I usually bristle a little bit when somebody talks about laziness. If you remember one thing this morning, though, I want you to remember this. This is so important. Because culture sometimes tells us differently. I want you to remember this. Success is not life's default. Okay? It's won by hard work and persistence. Success is not life's default. And I think a lot of times we're lazy because we have this false belief that everything's just going to work out all right. Right? Hey, don't worry about it. We have this kind of false belief that success is a right to us, that we are somehow entitled to everything working out all right, that we are somehow entitled to a form of success, and that everything's just going to be fine. And so when we tell ourselves that, what do we tend to do? We kind of relax a little bit on some of the important things of our life, right? I remember when, we have in the past made certain choices about parenting, that might have been considered, just different from what other people were doing. And people that we knew in our lives going, well, Why would you do that? We didn't do that, and we turned out fine. Right? You kind of tracking with me a little bit? We didn't do that. We turned out fine. We didn't withhold those things from our children, and we turned out fine. And so there's almost like this belief that if you just leave it alone, everything will turn out fine. Right? And that's really not how life works. And that's not how God designed life to work. Success, everything turning out fine, is not the default in life. You work for it. You earn it. And so the idea that you don't work things for things and you don't earn things, that everything is supposed to, is entitled to you, has even led to a system of system abuse, right? Our welfare abuse and things like that. And so if you want to succeed in an area, you have to work for it. Ask anybody who's ever worked hard to get the job that they want, worked hard to grow their business. You don't grow a business just by hanging a shingle, as the old expression goes. You don't grow a business just by getting a business card. You work your butt off, and you grow a business. Success is not life's default. You work for it. And it's what's different is that in our culture, we have these movies, and we have televisions, and they tell stories of people who just sort of stumble into good luck, right? Stumble into good fortune by some sort of chance encounter with the right person. And even in real life, it's happened. You guys know, does anybody know who Charlize Theron is? Everybody. I like ask, and she's like won Oscars, and she's like this big actress. And she was discovered by an agent while she was cashing a check at the bank, right? And we hear a story like that, and we go, oh, see, yeah, everything works out, right? Johnny Depp, he landed his first role when he was just tagging along with a friend to an audition. He wasn't even auditioning. So we look at stories like that. Or Pamela Anderson, who was discovered because the camera just happened to fall on her on the Jumbotron at a hockey game, you know? Or Channing Tatum, who was just walking down the street in Miami and was discovered, you know? And so we hear stories like that, and they happen to this very, very, very few people. But you know what? Most of the rest of the world, the rest of us, the other 99.999%, have to work their tails off to experience success in any area of their life. We do. You know, I actually grew up with a friend who didn't get a job until well into his 20s because he was convinced that he was going to win the lottery. I'm going to win the lottery. When was the last time you bought a lottery ticket? Oh, 2 weeks ago. He wasn't even working in that, you know. And so he was well into his 20s before he started working because he realized that he was wrong about the whole lottery thing, you know. Success is not the default. Success is something that we work and we strive for. And so remember that. Success is not life's default. It's won by hard work and persistence. The next thing is this. And this is the kind of the danger zone of laziness. Laziness leaves us susceptible to things that choke out life and joy. And we think that at the moment, our lazy actions are somewhat rewarding, but it's really sort of almost like a false reward, okay? It's like when we enjoy that third piece of pie thinking it's not going to have any effect on us. But we know that down the road it will, right? And so laziness kind of gives us almost this quasi-reward, this false reward. And what's happening is that it's actually inviting things into our lives that choke out life and joy. Verse 31 says that the walls were broken down, right? Because of laziness, the walls were broken down. And what do walls do? They protect us. The walls are there to protect the vineyard. And because of the vineyard owner's laziness, the walls were broken down. And so when we're lazy, it leaves us susceptible to things, okay? And it says, the walls were broken down and the field was covered with weeds and nettles. Does anybody here know what nettles are? Yeah, nettles are a weed and the leaves have little stingers on them, have little prickers. And so it can be painful if you're pulling weeds and you grab a nettle, you know, without gloves on or something, and you end up with a handful of stickers, right? And so it's little stinging hairs. I remember when we moved into our house, it had the most beautiful landscaping you'd ever seen. It was like a garden paradise. I kid you not. There were two ponds. There were like this bed of like lilies and what else? Perennials or something in the front yard. Beautiful like lilacs in the front yard. There were trees. I mean, the grass was lush. It was wonderful. Like when I first moved in, I remember I was doing a work trade with somebody who gives massages. And I was working on her website in exchange for free massages. And she came over and I'm like, let's go on the back porch. Let's put the massage table out on the back porch. And so she's like giving me a massage. And like it's in this beautiful garden setting. And little things were falling and birds were singing. And it was like, that's wonderful, right? And now it's like it looks like the Malcolm in the Middle yard now. Right? You know what I'm talking about? So, and I just remember, like, we didn't really keep up with it. We didn't trim stuff when we first moved in. We didn't fertilize. Now, and now we've got, like, dead, like, patches of dead grass and all this stuff. And if when we moved in, I would have just kind of gone out with a trimmer and spent maybe a half an hour on the weekend taking care of it, it would still be beautiful. But because I was lazy, do you know how much work I had to put into that thing this summer? just to try to trim the stuff that was overgrown. I mean, we have set out uncountable bundles of branches and weeds and sticks out for the maintenance guys to collect. I mean, just incredible the amount of work I had to put into it this summer just because I didn't put a little work into it when we first moved in, right? And so that's kind of what happens is when we're kind of lazy with the small things, before we know it, we're going to have big things that we have to take care of. And so it leaves us susceptible to things that choke out life and choke out joy. My laziness only created bigger problems. And if I could go back in time and trim that stuff for 20 minutes on the weekend when we first moved in, I totally, totally would. And our lives are like that. Our lives are just like that. If we don't want to deal with the annoying small problems now, it's going to cause bigger problems later, right? So if we don't want to deal with small attitude problems that our children have when they're younger, guess what kind of problems you're going to have when they're bigger? Anybody want to guess? Bigger problems, right? You're going to have bigger problems. And so if we don't deal with the small problems because we're tired, because we're, whatever, we're going to have bigger problems in the future. And you know what also is really important, just as sort of as a parenting aside, turn the page real quick, we're just going to have like a little parenting message, okay? When we let our kids get away with laziness, what does Scripture say? Laziness leads to ruin, right? And so a lot of us, we let our kids get away with laziness because we're like, oh, I'll just do it, right? Oh, I'll just do it. Oh, I'll just take care of that. Oh, you were lazy in this area. I got your back. I'll take care of it for you. And it causes bigger problems when they get older, okay? It's so important, okay? And when we're feeling kind of lazy or we don't have the energy to discipline our kids and when we withhold discipline from them because we feel sorry for them, it leads to bigger problems in the future, right? Okay? And so Proverbs 19:18 says, discipline your children when there's hope. Okay? When they're younger, when they're teachable, when they'll learn. Otherwise, you will ruin their lives. That's what Scripture says. Okay? And that's so important. And I've been there because I've been there so many times where my kids required discipline and I was too tired. And I was just like, I'm just worn out from this issue. Or I just don't want to do it. Or I just feel sorry for them. Or whatever. But when we withhold discipline from them, it will ruin their lives. So it's so important that in our parenting, we deal with the small problems when they're small, all right? Or even in our diet and exercise life, our physical lives. We were feeling lazy. We didn't want to eat right. We didn't want to exercise. And now the doctor is telling us something more extreme, right? If you don't get it together, you're not going to live past 40. If you don't get it together, you're a candidate for a heart attack. If you don't get it together, right? And it's because when things are small, we're feeling kind of lazy about the physical disciplines, and they leave us open to other things that will just choke out life and choke out joy. And so hard work and determination in the areas of life that are important to us help to build a wall of protection around us that keeps the big problems out. So y'all kind of seeing now why God says, I walked past the garden and the walls were all broken down. It's because when we're not disciplined, when we're feeling kind of lazy, it brings the protection down. All right? So, and then that kind of leads us to this next part, is that hard work defends us from the unexpected. Because unexpected problems come, right? Has anybody ever had like a heart attack and went, well, I saw that coming? Well, some of his friends probably saw it coming, but not him, you know? Has anybody ever had, you know, one of those issues in their life, a medical emergency or something like that, and went, oh yeah, I saw that coming? You know, if you saw it coming, you would have been at the hospital already, right? Verse 33 tells us that when we're lazy, poverty and scarcity will ambush us. It will ambush us. It will come on us unexpectedly. And so our lives and the choices that we make have consequences, okay? And so when we don't make the right choices, when we are lazy in our decisions and lazy in our choices, it tears the walls down. It leaves things open to come and choke out life and joy from us, and unexpected things come. All right? Verse 33 tells us that when we're lazy, poverty and scarcity will ambush us. So have you ever felt like financially ambushed before? Come on, that happens, right? Like financially ambushed is like, man, everything was fine till the furnace went out. Yeah, something like that ever happened? Man, everything was great. I was fine financially until the car broke down. And we have this sort of like unexpected expenses come and hit us, right? Things were great until I discovered my kid needed braces. Everything was fine, right? I'm not picking on you, Hudson. Hudson's back there. You know. And so the thing is, though, if we would have kind of worked harder and were more diligent in our finances and saving money, then when those unexpected things come along, it's not a big deal, right? So let's say, for example, you are really diligent in your finances, and you're really diligent in just kind of putting money away for, say, an emergency fund. And you're like, I'm going to put this away. I'm going to do it diligently. I'm not going to be lazy about my finances. I'm not going to lose track of my money. I'm not going to, just use my credit card to buy something I don't need, whatever. And when we're diligent, we put money away. When unexpected things come, you're like, hey, no big deal. It's not like an ambush. Scarcity doesn't ambush us. So when you've been diligent and you've been putting money away, when your car breaks down and it's a $700 bill, you're like, it's okay. I mean, I'd rather spend that $700 on something else. But it's not ambushing me with scarcity. It's not ambushing me because I've been diligently putting that money away. So you understand now why I say when you are diligent and not lazy and you're working hard when in the areas of your life, when unexpected things come along, it's no sweat, right? It's no sweat. And so I'm sure all of us could like share problems that sort of pounced on us out of nowhere, right? And physical problems can ambush us too. Did you know that I mean, just to kind of show you how lazy our country is in general, physical inactivity is the fourth largest cause of death. Physical inactivity is the fourth largest. In fact, not only in just this country, but physical inactivity is the fourth largest cause of death in the world. In the world. Get out and take a walk, right? I mean, it's like just move your body around, do something. But our hours of sort of, you know, sitting in front of screens and our hours of watching television, things like that, it's like killing us, literally killing us. And so physical inactivity is the fourth largest cause of death in the world. You talk about something pouncing on you unexpectedly. I mean, no, you know, that's what happens. It's linked to the development of chronic health problems like heart disease, like type 2 diabetes, like obesity, depression, dementia, cancer. Have you ever been really depressed before? And and when you're really depressed, it's hard to work out. Like it's almost like the inactivity leads to depression, and the depression leads to not wanting to get out and go for a jog, right? And it becomes a sort of like this circle, this vicious cycle of depression, inactivity. And so I know a lot of people who are like, when they're feeling depressed, they're like, I'm going to go work out because every time I go work out, I feel a little better. You know, I get some dopamine. And so physical inactivity leads to chronic health problems. And so the flip side of that, though, is that working hard, it provides a safety net, right? Working hard provides walls around our lives. And it helps to keep a lot of hardships outside of our lives, right? Getting up, exercising, keeps illnesses from pouncing on us from nowhere, right? Being disciplined with our finances keeps the unexpected expenses from ruining us and leading to, you know, poverty. And so it's so important that we work hard because it defends us from the unexpected. So everybody tracking with me? Just nod your head if you're tracking with me. All right. So what I want to do is I want to kind of wrap this up here by just kind of giving you five things real quick that will help you overcome laziness if there's an area of your life where you're going, if I'm really honest, I'm lazy in that area of my life. Okay? And so there's five things real quick. The first thing is this. Check under the hood. What do I mean by check under the hood? Sometimes, if we're feeling lazy, if we're sluggish, we're having a hard time peeling ourselves off the couch, we're having a hard time being motivated to work hard in the areas of our life that matter most, sometimes it's just time to go see a doctor for some people, right? You might have a sluggish thyroid, okay? You might have low iron levels. I remember Wendy went through a season for a while where she was just we homeschool, and she'd be down at the kitchen table teaching our boys, and I'd come down for lunch, and her head would be on the kitchen table, and she'd be sleeping, you know, and she was just exhausted. And in that case, she just needed to go see the doctor and get things checked out, and they injected iron in her blood, and now she has the powers of Magneto. It's really cool. So, It's well worth it. It's worth it, okay? So you might have low iron levels, or you might have a sleep issue. So in some cases, we just need to look under the hood, okay? Or look at our diet. That's very important. You know, when we eat a lot of junk food, if we're eating fast food a lot, if we're eating lots of sweets, if we're eating lots of junk food, it lowers our energy level. And we might need to take a look at our diet and start eating healthier, and we'll notice that our energy is better, and we're not feeling so lazy, okay? So check under the hood. The next thing is this, and it's really important, don't try to change the whole world overnight. Don't try to change the whole world overnight. And what do I mean by that? A lot of times it's like, you know what, I need to stop being so lazy, I need to get healthy, and so I'm going to get out there, and I'm going to run 5 miles a day. Boom. And how long do you think that lasts for most people? Yeah, one day. They get out that 5 miles that first day. The next day, I'm too sore. You know, I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow comes, still a little sore, right? And the next day, I don't want to get too big, right? I don't want to get too fast. And so, listen, don't try to change the whole world overnight. Just go, you know what, I'm going to walk around my block every day. Just make one small change, okay? Did you know that some of the people with the most successful exercise habits started off by working out for 1 minute a day? Literally setting a timer, and for 1 minute they did like jumping jacks, or they did push-ups or sit-ups, or they ran in place for 1 minute. And then after about a week, they added another minute, and after a week, they added another minute. And so sometimes it's just doing something small. Or in the terms of finances, you know what? Instead of going, you know what, from now on, every paycheck, I'm going to put away $500, right? And it's like, just put away $5. Just try that. Get an envelope, put $5 in it every paycheck. And nothing motivates us like success, even if it's a small success, right? And that's so important when moving from laziness to life, is just growing incrementally. $5 a paycheck, and then add to that when you're ready. Because once you've got $25 in there, $50 in there, it feels really good, and you go, I want to do some more, right? That's just how our brains are wired. Or you're just like, you know what, spiritually, I need to develop disciplines. From now on, I'm gonna pray for an hour a day, and I'm going to read 3 chapters out of my Bible every day. And you know what, you might do it one day, just like the jogging 5 miles. You know what, you just start by reading a verse of the Bible every day. Okay? And that feels good. And after you've read a verse of the Bible every day for 30 days, add another verse. Or bump up to a chapter. Or whatever. Or, you know, pray for 5 minutes a day. All right? I know we talk about prayer here a lot because it makes such a difference in our lives. But you don't have to just, like, do it for an hour a day. Start small and let those victories motivate you to grow. All right? And then the next thing is this. Appreciate the glory of work. Work is a glorious thing. You know, in our culture, we have treated work like it's a 4-letter word, right? Work. You know, don't make me work. Like, work's this bad thing. I can't wait to get out of work, you know. We clock in at 8 o'clock, and we're like, I can't wait till 5 o'clock, man. And we watch the clock, and we don't like work. We have to understand, work is actually a really good thing. We were designed to work. When God made Adam and Eve, what did he do? What was his purpose before sin ever came into the world? It was to work the garden, albeit naked, but it was to work the garden. I'm just glad that there were no thorns or nettles at that time. Okay? But it was to work. Work is a glorious thing. And hard work is rewarding, and it brings success in a lot of areas. And also, hard work protects us from all sorts of problems. Understand that work is a good thing. And if you might need to reframe your thinking on work, and rather than thinking of work as something that you get out of the way so that you can get on with your life, understand that work is actually a good thing. It's a great thing. And so appreciate the glory of work. And then fourth, work like you're working for Jesus, right? Work like you're working for Jesus. Colossians 3:23 says, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. So when you show up at your job, just be like, I'm working for Jesus. And you know what? We do a lot better job when we're working for Jesus, okay? And so, because we know that he loves us, and nobody loves us like Jesus. And the last thing is this, is get accountability. Get some accountability. If you're trying to change physically, and you're trying to work hard physically, you're trying to lose weight, and you're trying to get in shape, there's nothing better than having somebody that will hold you accountable. Maybe somebody that will work out with you once in a while, or somebody that will check in with you, okay? Get accountability. Ask someone to check on your progress for you. If you're trying to, improve your financial situation, find somebody with a slightly better financial situation and ask them to hold you accountable. Okay, talk to somebody. Get some wisdom from somebody. I love it. My accountability partner, we meet every other week, and we just get together for lunch, and we talk about five areas of our lives, and we go, how you doing spiritually? How you doing purity-wise? How you doing with your marriage? How you doing with your kids? And how are you growing personally? And we challenge each other. And every once in a while, one of us will hit like a roadblock, right? And I'll give you, for example, right now, I've been encouraging him to write a life plan. He's 50 years old, and I'm like, hey, man, I want you to write out a plan for the last, 40 or 30 years of your life. You know, what's it going to look like? What do you want to accomplish? Who do you want to be? How do you want your kids to remember you when you die? How do you want your family to remember you? All these things, write a life plan. And I gave him a book to read. And he's like, I want to do that. I said, okay, then do that. And the last couple of times we've met, I've said, how's the life plan coming along? And he's gone, wait a minute, have you spent the day aside? Because part of it is spending a whole day aside to write it. I haven't done it yet. And so as his accountability partner, I have permission to go, listen, next time we meet, if your life plan isn't written, you're buying lunch. And he goes, okay, all right? And so that's just how we do. And sometimes if you have something to lose, if you don't make that step forward, you'll do it, right? Because if your accountability partner said, look, you lose 10 pounds by the next time we meet, or you owe me $100, how many here think you'd lose that 10 pounds? Right? Yeah, heck yeah. Okay? And then gain it right back after you check in with them. But get accountability. Ask someone to check on your progress. Find somebody to hold you accountable as you work on the important things of life. People with accountability are so much more likely to accomplish their goals than those without. So get somebody accountable. I want you to think about the areas of your life right now. You know, maybe you have some areas in your life and you can go, I can think of at least one thing that I've been lazy with that I need to be more diligent on. Can anybody think of something like that? Yeah, oh yeah, okay. So here's what I want to do. Wendy, if you'd come up here just for a second. Just bring the whole worship team. Just bring the whole worship team. So you guys, I just want you to play through a little prayer time. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something a little different than we've done here before. First of all, I want you to imagine that area of your life that you've been lazy in. And just imagine 6 months of diligence and how things would change. You know, if you started today and you were like, I am going to be diligent in my health. I'm not going to be lazy in that area anymore. or I'm going to be diligent in my parenting. I'm not going to be lazy in that anymore. Or I'm going to be diligent in my finances. I'm going to start today. I'm going to take $5 out of my wallet and I'm going to stick it in an envelope. You know, I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to start taking small steps. And imagine what your life will look like in 6 months. You know? I mean, God can do amazing things when we're willing to step up and go, okay, God, I'll do my part and I'm not going to be lazy. Because here's what happens when we work with diligence. We're not on our own, right? God partners with us then, and He walks with us, and He blesses what we do because we're doing what His Word says to do. And when we do what His Word says to do, and we are diligent in those things, and we do our part, then God does His part, all right? And so I remember just not too long ago, we found out that our son needed braces. Edson was back there kind of raising his hand earlier. We found out that our son needed braces. It was going to be $5,000. That's a lot of money for braces, right? And I was thinking, his smile is fine. Okay? It looks just fine. He doesn't look unhappy, right? $5,000 is a lot of money. But because we had spent the last year determined to save money for a crisis fund, for an emergency fund, when stuff like that happened, when that news came along, it didn't wreck us. We wrote a check. Okay, here you go. All right? And it didn't ruin us. And you want to know what? When that happened, a real gratitude rose up in my heart, not to Wendy and I because we worked hard at it. A real gratitude in my heart rose up to God, that He gave us the wisdom, that He made the provision, that God, you know, worked through that, and it was not something unexpected that led us to ruin. It was just fine. Everything worked out just fine. And I want you to imagine your life looking that way. Your life, you know, when something unexpected comes along. Because the walls will be strong because you've been working hard and you haven't been lazy. Okay? And so what I want to do is I want to just end this time by just taking about 5 minutes. And this may be kind of awkward for some of you, and that's okay. Just tell the other person this is super awkward. But I just want you to pair up and in just prayer teams of two people. Okay? So, you know, so if you just find just one other person, and what you're going to do is you're just going to pray for each other. Because sometimes it's easier to be honest with one other person about the weak areas of our life than it is to kind of stand up and say, yeah, pray for me, right? And so what I want you to do is tell your prayer partner, this is the area that I've been lazy in, and this is the area that I really need help being diligent and working harder in. Does that make sense? Okay? And you're going to pray for each other. All right? Sound good? Okay, go ahead. Partner up.